The 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
All right, everybody, welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Pleasure to be with you once again with a new edition and a new episode. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing. And of course, if you're on Apple, scroll on down, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking of this show. Shout out to our sponsor at Old Fort Baseball Company for making our show possible. Of course, we move ahead. So you see it in the title. We're talking with the scout with the Philadelphia Phillies. But before that, before he became a big-time scout at the Major League Baseball ranks, he played his baseball right here in the 260, right here in Fort Wayne. We have the one and only Justin Munson joining the podcast. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Thanks for having me on today.
No problem. Thank you for, you know, I'm sure you're still busy. Scouting never ends, regardless whether what season it is, what part of the year. So I appreciate you for coming on and making time for us today.
No, absolutely. Looking forward to it and was excited to do it.
Yeah, so before you made it to a scout, obviously, more times than not, when people become scouts, they were former players, either former players or guys that are just really close to the game and, you know, love it and maybe weren't able to play, weren't the greatest baseball player. But you were a player and you were a really solid player from Fort Wayne. So before you even played high school ball, college ball and all that stuff, let's start from the beginning. When did you fall in love with the game of baseball as a youngster, and what little league did you play in?
Oh man, baseball has always been my passion. I think my mom said my first word was ball. So, you know, I grew up just, always had a passion for the game, man, and, just loved everything about it. And I love how, you know, you're in control of everything you do in a baseball game. So, just fell in love with it at an early age and obviously been my passion for a long time.
Yeah. So did you play Little League at all?
So, growing up, I played at Georgetown.
Nice.
That's, you know, probably one of the biggest influences on playing baseball. I had such great coaches at a young age, through there, and Dan Oplinger and Joe Harmon and Greg Ziegel and Kevin Day. Those guys were huge impacts on me growing up and playing. And, from the time I, you know, started what I think it's called prep league, where it was machine pitch or whatever, and all the way, you know, through senior league at Georgetown, where I finished up there. So yeah, I love playing at Georgetown. It was great. It used to be a really good rivalry with us and St. Joe back in the day. So
it's still pretty serious. I think rivalry still exists with Elmer's Little League and Foster Park. They still exist. So, you know, regardless, while some things change, some things don't.
Yeah,
so those,
sure.
those rivalries are still intact. So you know, what was some of your favorite, you know, memories of Little League? I mean, my memory number one is I remember my first year playing All-Stars with Elmhurst Little League. I always have those memories that stay with me forever. Did you have any in Little League?
Man, yeah, you know, growing up playing for those guys, one, they taught us how to play the game the right way. You know, we were learning auto cuts and double cuts when we were 9, 10 years old, and where to be. And so fell in love with just the process. But I think, you know, probably my favorite memory was I was 11. So that's a long time ago. I think it was 1998. But we won the city championship that year for Kiefer Printing. We won that was a big memory I have from just playing for those guys and winning this. That, you know, that's a big deal back then, was winning that city title. And so actually won it at St. Joe. So definitely remember that. Probably was the biggest one with Little League.
Yeah, that probably felt good, especially winning it at St. Joe. That's
yeah,
extra bragging rights.
Yeah, it was
Georgetown. They just had another team.
The state tournament.
Yeah.
Actually, the coach of that, I mentioned Dan Oblinger, Joe Harmon. That's a couple coaches. Joe's son, I believe it's Mark or Matt. I can't remember which one, but they coach that. Yeah, Matt coaches Matt. That. So that that's it. That's Joe's son. Yeah,
that's my high school coach. That was my high school coach, Matt Harmon.
Oh man, great dude, man. Great family. Good, really good baseball. I grew up playing with his brother Jake.
Nice. It's a small world. Small
Yes.
world. But those Fort Wayne baseball ties, they run deep. And they pass it on and pass it on to others. So yeah, Georgetown's still running things. So that's good. I'm sure that's good to, for you to hear today. So,
Absolutely.
talk about when you started playing high school baseball and reflect on your career. I know you played baseball with Snyder. You were a Snyder Panther. Reflect on that.
Yeah, 01 to 05, again, a lot of quality coaches and Andy Owen, who was there for a long time, Coach Meyer, who was my PE teacher at Black Hawk, actually, middle school, and then Coach Congdon and Coach Vince came over from Northrop. I think it was my sophomore or junior year, so I was able to have him for two or three seasons. But man, just a lot of really good players that grew up on playing on those teams, and from Little League all the way through high school. I think my senior year we had one of the a team that probably underachieved at the end of the day, losing to go on to the state championship. But I mean, there was a lot of great players on there, and it was just it was a great place to play. We were always good, competitive. It took a lot to break those lineups and those rotations. So just thankful for all the I still talk to a lot of those guys today from those teams, and run into them when I am back home in Fort Wayne occasionally. So just a lot of great memories from just being on good teams, good teammates, good friends.
Yeah, so I was poking fun with you before we started the interview because doing a little research, you still got a recruiting profile, I think it is, on Baseball America, which is a big deal. How did the college process go, major league process go? How good were you, and how did all that happen?
Not good enough. Good enough to go play college baseball. I went out to Kansas City, actually, where I still presently live, and played at a junior college called Maplewoods Community College, home of Albert Pujols. That's the best way to tell people, arguably the greatest right-handed hitter of all time. Got there my first year, and I ended up having a total reconstructive shoulder surgery and was kind of never the same. But I always tell people, not good enough, but good enough to go play college baseball, which was a lot of fun. And again, just the head coach there, who just retired a few years ago, I'm still very close with, and all those guys that were on those teams, man, just a lot of quality friendships and relationships still exist to this day. So very thankful for that opportunity.
So around your time, so something we talk about a lot on here, and as we're getting further in your baseball life, something that has definitely changed from the time that we were in high school is travel baseball.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm sure that's something that you're watching some of these high school kids, so you get the you it's different for you because now you're watching some of these guys. But like when you were playing, was that a thing yet? Was travel ball? Because I know it felt like it started right when I started. Like I graduated in 2009, so like I feel like the mid 2000s is when it really like took off. Was it big for you?
It really just started to come into play. Like in my high school years, like you were saying, like I think 04, 05 is when it got really big. It started to kind of bust on the circuit. But up to that point, man, kids either played Little League or they played Legion baseball still, where there wasn't a ton of travel opportunities. And when there was travel opportunities, it was a few teams a state. Now there's 30 in every city, and you can go play. So it's definitely changed the landscape of the game. But probably came most prevalent right there in those early 2000s.
Yeah, it's crazy now. But so
Yeah.
when all this happened for you in college, right, and you had the surgery, was that when you made the decision? I have this passion for the game of baseball. Is that when you decided, maybe there's another avenue and another way I can give back to the game that I love so much? Was that when you decided to be a scout? And how did that process go?
Initially, actually, I was a junior college coach at Maplewoods for 8 years. I was the assistant head coach there. I was the recruiting coordinator and pitching coach for 8 seasons. And then in the fall of 2016, I had a friend with the Cardinals who had mentioned that the Phillies may have had some openings. I didn't have any connections or anything at that time. I just had a friend who had mentioned it, who had, mentioned a couple openings they had had previously when I was trying to get in, because I was always, kind of curious about scouting and what it was. And I shot an email over to a guy with the Phillies that I had met one time like 5 years prior, that, you know, was asking for some pitching rotations, and ended up getting a phone call from him. And we talked for about an hour about different things. And then I got an interview and I got the job. So kind of a different way in. Like you mentioned earlier, most time it's like ex players get in and stuff. It's changed a lot in the recent years. But just was fortunate enough to get an interview and obviously did well enough to get the job. So been doing it for going on year 10 now.
Yeah, so how was that adjustment for you, becoming a scout, and what were some of the early, I guess, bumps in the road maybe that were, rough to adjust to becoming a scout?
Definitely, at least from where I was coaching at, it was a lot more time on the road. It's a lot lonelier of a job, I would say. You're used to being on a bus with 40 other individuals and going to games and traveling together, and then you go, basically you're in your car driving by yourself 50,000 miles a year covering wide areas. Like I covered six states when I first started: Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, North and South Dakota. So a lot of geographical area to cover. And I think, at first just the time on the road was probably the biggest change. And then also just, looking back, you never know what you don't know. Go back and look at some of your first reports and they're hilarious, man. Like the things you put down on paper, you just don't really, you think you're doing a good job and you are, but you don't realize how, much it changes just from the college coaching cycle to, being a professional scout, terminology and all those things. So, a little bit of a process, but I mean, I think it went really well and the transition was really good. And I was fortunate to have a really good cross checker at the time in David Seifert, who is a head person for D1 baseball and Prep Baseball Report now. He's out there on that scene. And he was a good teacher, teaching how to organize your area, how to organize your list, how to scout, how to evaluate. He did a really good job. And my first scouting director, Johnny Almaraz, was also, very open, just being aggressive and learning from your mistakes that way. So, very fortunate to have a lot of good people along the way teach me the bumps in the road. So wasn't too bad. There was definitely some bumps, but learned from it and obviously continue to move forward with it.
Yeah, so like I'm super intrigued because like I follow people and have conversations with people like Cooper Trinkle, Scooter Hunt and guys like that with prep baseball and just try to pick their brains. But with you being a major league scout, it's a little bit different, I assume, because like so it, I'm trying to ask questions without like going I don't want to get you in trouble or anything like that,
Yeah,
but like
no, you're good.
so do they give you like player A, player B wants you to look at them, or do you go out and kind of see out, do they give you just like the kind of player they want, and then you do the research to find out? How does that process work?
So I can speak for how we do it in some generalities, but we don't give out predetermined lists. Basically, there's scouting email groups all over the country for the regions you live in, and co college coaches do a really good job of sending information in there about their scrimmage dates, their scout days, outside competition days in the fall. And basically what you do is set your schedule up and try to, see your major colleges and all the schools you possibly can in the fall, and line up your list that way. And so you go there and you evaluate, and it's basically creating your own list off your evaluation, what you think of each player you see. We have the freedom to turn in who we want and who we don't. We do get some small stat follow lists at times and some pop-up tracking stuff, which is very valuable information. It's just another piece of the puzzle and a way to look at it. But definitely, you're doing the job and letting, people above you know, hey, I like this player. Here are the tool grades that I've seen. This is where I'm putting him on my list, and these are the reasons why. And you're trying to do it in a way where it captures their attention so they know, hey, man, this is a priority guy, and we need to make sure we see him.
So for, I've interviewed a lot of, high school kids that are on their way to college. I've interviewed some college players. Just from your perspective and like from the circles that you've, talked to, people you've worked with, just generality speaking, what are some tangible things that, a lot of, scouts look for with pitchers, whether it's high school level or college, wanting to be professional? What are some just examples of tools that, scouts may want?
I would say it's changed a lot in the last 10 years. It used to be big on projection and guys that had projectable qualities from just body, athleticism, ability to spin a baseball, strikes, where we still haven't lost that, but guys are throwing harder than ever. Every year it seems like guys are throwing harder and harder and stuff ticks up a little bit. So I think it's more present stuff you see earlier in drafts nowadays. And with that being said, I think, we start at the mound, how the operation overall works from the delivery, the arm action, how does the stuff play coming across the plate, with all their pitches, all their entire arsenal that they use, and then going, into, projection and other qualities they may have. And then obviously we have the analytic data side of it as well that also is part of it. So.
So I don't know if you necessarily scouted these players, but when a general person will look at the current landscape right now for the Philadelphia Phillies, you got I think Andrew Painter. I don't know where he ranks these days, but he's definitely one of the top prospects in all of baseball, let alone the Phillies. I think he's the number one prospect in the Phillies. But in terms of the prospects right now, pitching prospects for the Phillies, who are some guys that that you were able to scout and bring in?
So this was my first year as the pitching cross checker. The first eight drafts I was the Midwest area guy, like I said, where I just covered those six states. This year I, took over the pitching cross checker role that we created. We didn't have it before, and now I cover the entire country. So from the players we brought in, obviously this year our first pick was Gage Wood. Arkansas right-handed pitcher. People probably saw him in the College World Series. So the no-hitter, strikeout 19. Perfect example of a guy that would represent Philly well, man. He's intense. He's direct. He has a process. He's aggressive. And he's really talented, obviously, up to 100 miles an hour, plus breaking ball, tons of strikes. Think he had one of the highest whiff rates, if not the highest, on his fastball in the entire draft. He was a guy we really liked a lot. And then Cade Obermueller, we took in the second round out of Iowa. I was a huge fan of him. I had him out of high school when I was the area guy. Tried to draft him last year out of Iowa. He was a true draft eligible sophomore. Just things didn't line up in the draft, and then we were able to get him this year. But you just talk about a unique guy. He's not the biggest guy. I think he's 5'11", 6 foot, 170 pounds, but premium athlete. Low release, high, low slot, carry on the fastball with, arguably one of the best sliders in the entire draft. So, a couple guys at the top we were really excited about. And then we got Cody Bowker out of Vanderbilt in the third round. He was a transfer from Georgetown. He was a two-way guy, shortstop, converted to pitcher only at Vanderbilt. Another guy, just really unique fastball and shapes, and a guy that we were ecstatic to get in that spot. And then, just continue to go down. I mean, this draft was great. I mean, we took a lot of pitching, so it made it a lot of fun. I think 14 of our 20 selections were pitchers, so it was a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, the first entire eight rounds were pitchers, so that was
Yeah.
definitely a focus for the Phillies. So
Yeah.
another player I wanted to ask you about. So right here in Indiana, high schooler Matthew Fisher, you guys took in the seventh round.
Yep.
A couple of questions, talk about him if you're able to. But another part of the question, the difference between high school pitchers and college pitchers. What makes high school pitchers stand out so much to the fact where it gets them that major league attention? Because I swear I played against some guys where I'm like, there's no way this kid should be in high school. Like, there's no way. And so, like, what from your perspective, how are high school kids scouted in terms of pitching?
To go back, our scouting director that's been there for five or six drafts now, Brian Barber, this was the first year we have taken a college guy with our first pick. Our last five drafts have been all high school players, from Mick Abel, Andrew Painter, Crawford. I mean, the list goes on and on. We had taken a lot of high school kids, and this just the way the draft lined up this year. But Fisher stood out for a lot of reasons. You talk about an athlete, definitely a plus athlete. I believe he was an all-state quarterback this year in Evansville. When watched him, we had a lot of guys see him this year. But up to 95, really good operation, throws a ton of strikes, can really spin a baseball. Super competitive kid. Makeup was outstanding. We just had a lot of belief in the room that this was a guy that we felt really comfortable with bringing into our system, not only from the stuff perspective and the right now aspect, but there's a lot of room to grow for him as well. And also just the maturity and the makeup part of it, that's a big deal for us and bringing him into our culture and knowing that he'll fit in and hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited for you. So how does your schedule work exactly? Like, 'cause right now it's summertime, it's getting closer to the playoffs, I guess. There's about a month or so left until playoffs start. So what's your schedule like? I imagine spring is really busy, probably late winter, things like that. But how does your schedule work on a 365-day schedule?
Pretty busy consistently. In the winter months, it's more Zoom meetings and downtime, maybe an occasional in-person meeting where we go down to our complex in Clearwater. But I just got back a couple of days ago from being out on the circuit. I was at East Coast Pro out in Hoover, Alabama for 5 days, and then home for a day, and then flew out to Long Beach for area codes. So just got home a couple of days ago and able to get a little shutdown time. Now it's time to knock out a lot of reports and follows that I have to update on or new ones that I've seen. And then as far as the fall, fall ball starting to ramp up here for the junior colleges and the 4-year schools. And basically with my position, it's more now it's waiting for our area guys to identify college guys, let me know, and then well, let all of us know, and then prioritizing some guys to go see throughout the fall. So it's a little different than when I was the area guy and kind of out almost every day running around seeing players, trying to identify guys for other people to come in. Now it's them letting us know and going and seeing those guys when it makes sense. So a little different, a little slower, I would say, in regards to like actually going out every day and seeing guys this time of year, but still we'll go out and see players. And then from the first Division I weekend in February till about now, you're running. So February 15th to August 15th, roughly, you're gone quite a bit. So I would say it's probably around 150 nights a year in a hotel.
Jeez.
A lot of nights at a Marriott. So.
Yeah, the local Marriotts. Yeah, good stuff. I mean, it's still exciting, the baseball fan in me is really admired right now and inspired. That's really cool that you were able to do that coming right here from the 260, and you're doing big things at the professional level and making a difference for a very good Major League Baseball team. So in their future. So you should, I know it may suck sometimes, a lot of nights at the hotel, but you're doing some great work. So I hope that you understand the work that you're doing.
Yeah, no, man. I'm thankful every day for the opportunity. Don't take anything for granted. And especially, just look forward to every day trying to find a way to make the Phillies better. And very fortunate to work for the people I do, from Dave Dombrowski, Preston Mattingly, Brian Barber, all the way down. We have a lot of great people and great scouts, and it starts with the area guys, man, them identifying the players so that we see them and getting an opportunity to scout these guys to hopefully take them in the major league draft. And they're as vital as anyone in the organization and making sure we get that piece done. So kudos to our scouts for doing a great job and knowing these players and knowing their schedules and making sure we're up to date and have the opportunity to do what we do.
That's great stuff. One more thing before I let you go, to the city of Fort Wayne and the 260. Some final words, some I guess some final I don't really want to say recommendation, but like for the city of Fort Wayne, anybody, any players that are have big dream aspirations, they want to play major league level, college level, anything like that. Anybody that may want to be a scout, what's some advice and some words that you can give to them?
Man, if you have a passion for the game and baseball is what you want to do for a living. It's not always the most glamorous job. I think people think maybe sometimes it is, but you got to do a lot of work and suffer a lot of years to put in your time to get in. But once you get in, man, it's a great job. I tell everyone I'm blessed. I have the best job in the world. I get to watch baseball for a living. Just don't give up. There's plenty of avenues to get in. You know, people start scouting from all different waves, whether they're former players, former coaches, former college players that, you know, get a video internship and get in that way, or, you know, people that want to go through the analytic route, getting an internship through that avenue and approaching that way. There's plenty of opportunity in the game and jobs that come available. So, you know, stay resilient, keep working hard, and you know, good things happen to good people.
Man, great advice. Justin Munson joining us here on the 260 Dugout Podcast. Thanks for coming on. Take care and keep doing great work. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks a lot.